Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, guys? Matty here. Welcome into today's Millionaire Mindcast episode. I've got a very exciting guest on the show today, my man, Mr. Major Williams. He is running for the governor of California, and he's just a new age politician. Dude is an all-around rock star, family man. He's got strong faith, great leadership skills, and he really reminds me a little bit of the Obama swag and flair with a little bit more of a conservative approach in terms of policy, but really he's inclusive on so many different levels. And it was an honor having him on the show today because we got to talk about this new transformation and consciousness in politics that is going on right now, and kind of this calling and this craving of new age politicians in thinking. And today you're going to get a taste of exactly what I'm talking about. It is refreshing. He's real. He's transparent. He's authentic. And he really talked about how he led into and kind of fell into this path of politics and feeling called to it and his why and his purpose behind it. I don't generally, you don't see, right, politicians really have that authenticity and that transparency because they're so polished and they have to say the right things and the perfect things. And you're going to see why so many people are jumping on the Major bandwagon and are being a part and contributing to his grassroots movement that really started grassroots, but it's very popular and gaining massive momentum all throughout the state right now, as well as across the nation right now. He's a conservative, but he's a Black conservative. He's a Christian conservative, but he also has somewhat of this hint of liberalness in the right ways, in my opinion. But you guys are going to get a taste of what Major is all about. We're talking about core values, talking about movements, talking about routines and habits of how do you keep your energy and keep your passion and your intent and purpose behind serving people in politics without getting jaded, still having, right, that momentum to go out and do what you need to do every day. He talked about pace and the importance of kind of keeping that stride no matter how high or how low you get. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode today, and he shares what he wants people to know about Major Williams. And whether you're in California or not, I think you're going to see these kind of leaders be desired in politics, especially with, let's say, 50 and under somethings, right? Millennials and moving forward that still have, you know, foundational principles and aren't all about socialism, but at the same time are still human beings and are still real. And so I really enjoyed my conversation with Major today. I know you guys are as well. We'll have all the links to his campaigns, to his stuff that he's got going on, his social media on MillionaireMindcast.com for his particular episode. If you're not subscribed to the podcast yet, be sure to hit that subscribe button for 3 episodes each and every week. We talk mindset, money, motivation to help you on your wealth building journey, unlocking, creating, and designing the life that you, right, want to live. Because everybody has a different definition of what that looks like. And Major talked about that here in today's podcast. So a lot of fun, a lot of stuff to take in, great note-taking in this particular episode. If you enjoy it, share it with a friend, family member. Don't forget to text me at 844-447-1555. Check out all the resources, freebies, downloads for you guys at MillionaireMindcast.com. Without any further ado, let's dig into today's episode right after this quick message from today's show sponsor.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process. And in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Well, I'm excited to welcome into the show today, Mr. Major Williams. What a do, brother.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I'm born and raised in Cali, and I haven't been too happy with what's been going on to our beautiful state, really just under the poor leadership that's been taking place really for a long time, but really kind of exacerbated over the last, you know, year with everything that's been going on. And I've been a fan of what you've been doing and what you stand for. It's funny, I don't know if you get this, but I've been talking you know, to some people that are obviously engaged with what's going on in our state of all colors, races, creed. And a lot of people say that you've got this Obama swag, but with a different flair and flavor in terms of kind of how you're approaching and going after things. Your grassroots movement has kind of taken off and is really creating some contendership for being the next governor of California. So I want to, you know, obviously learn a little bit more about your journey and kind of what led you on this path and for people to get to know you, your policy, and kind of your core values and belief system, because I think it's something that California is craving and needing. But did you ever imagine early on that you were going to get into politics and be where you're at right now?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so when people make those comparisons to Obama, whatever, you know, I look at it from a perspective of, if that was something that was successful and that people could look at that as a workable blueprint, I'm like, yeah, you know, we're on the right path or whatnot. But I never really had like you know, politicians on my wall. There's more so athletes on my wall. I want to aspire to be a music artist or something like that. But being a very faith-driven person, I'm obedient in that particular space and understanding that sometimes we don't always do the things that we think we should. We go towards the things that we are called to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like everything that's happened with this particular campaign over the last 191 days has been momentous. It's been historic. It's been emotional. It's been exciting. But it's given me an opportunity to once more be in a position to learn, to evolve, to grow in this particular space. But also, at the end of it, be able to fight for a state that I absolutely love and just cherish, because it's given me everything that I do love, meaning my wife, my kids, and the opportunity to fail, learn from that failure, and to get back up. So it's just a great state of opportunity. And I want to make sure it remains that way.
I love it, man. And, you know, you've got so much support from so many different people, and really it seems across many party lines too, right? Which hasn't felt like there's been a candidate that really is kind of touching and pulling people into the fold. And I just see your way of inclusivity and empathy and relating to people on all different levels. It's very powerful. And so I'm excited to be, you know, kind of getting behind a leader like you. And obviously your faith is a big part of that. I know your family, your roots, a lot of the failures that you've, you know, kind of used as stepping stones and breadcrumbs to kind of find this path that you've been on. For those that maybe don't know kind of who you are and where you came from and what has, you know, through the sequence of events over your life, personally and professionally, led you to where you're at today, maybe just give us a quick background of kind of where did Major Williams get his start?
Sure. Well, originally from Dallas, Texas, for the ones who don't know, I came out to Los Angeles probably over 20, 21 years ago on a visit. And on the third day, I met the most amazing woman, and I ended up marrying that woman. So 20 years later with my wife and my beautiful kids. And I started out, you know, coming out here as a 23, 24-year-old, young, impressionable young man, just trying to find my way. And you know, I'm excited about the glitz and glamour of what Hollywood has to offer in California and whatnot. And but eventually I had to get a job.
and then reality set in.
Right. And then that job was working in the nonprofit sector, working with in the group home industry as well. And had a great mentor by the name of Ian Hunter, which basically gave me all the insights and behind the scenes of how to structure and organize and run a successful nonprofit. And I was able to really learn the nuances of how group homes and nonprofits work. So I did that for like 4 or 5 years. In between that time, you know, it's Hollywood. I did commercials. I did music. I did, of course, marketing, which is my background, which I studied educationally. And I ended up working in, you know, in the sports entertainment industry, the Hollywood industry as well. But bringing it full circle, I've only been in politics the last 4.5 years as a conservative. And it mainly became because a good friend of mine by the name of Cole Harris ran for lieutenant governor of California.
Mind you,
had been knowing this individual for like, you know, years prior. And then he just leaned over to me one day in his backyard at a birthday party for one of our kids and said, "Hey, I'm running for lieutenant governor." I'm like, "What is lieutenant governor, first of all?" And so we just had a great conversation about that. He just started sharing with me about conservative values versus, you know, me being a lifelong Democrat, which was by default. I was never politically active. You're not going to find any footage of me being an activist anywhere. It was just by default. My mom was, my grandmother was. But understanding policies that were beneficial to our communities, to our state, to our country versus detrimental, I just saw a laundry list of positive under the conservative umbrella, the ideology and the mindset. And the theory is this: I'd rather be with something or a part of something at some capacity that's willing to show me how to make the $100 versus give me $100.
Yep.
And I mean, that foundation in itself, ideology-wise or mindset-wise, it changes people's lives. And so I've been in this political spectrum, as I said, 4.5 years. Once you're in there, if you have a little talent, if you're bold and brave, next thing you know, people are going to be pushing you to run for a particular office. And that happened. I ran for mayor of Pasadena. Started 2 years early. I always tell people this story. There was a vote when I put my name in the hat that I was going to get only 100 votes. So me having a sports background, you know, I'm competitive. So my biggest thing, I was telling my wife, 100 votes, I'm going to get 200 votes. So I'm going to show them, right? So that was my whole thing. I just wanted to get 200 votes to prove them all wrong. But how things worked, you know, my work ethic, my ambition, the ability to communicate across the aisles, as you said earlier, it resonated with a lot of people locally in my city, and got close to 5,000 votes, which made history. First time Republican, Black, conservative, you know, got that many votes as a first time candidate here in this particular city. And so we knew that we were onto something in regards to that. And so after I lost my race in March 2020, I was like, you know, I want to stay politically active. Like, what can I do? And I created the new California Governor Committee. And the premise of that committee was to find and support the next Republican governor candidate. Go figure, right? So we were just interviewing and vetting different individuals that were unorthodox, not career politicians, and say, hey, this is what we need. This is what we should do. But after every single meeting, they would just like wipe their heads like, you should just do it. Like, you're the way that you just, you know, articulated it and how you spoke about it. And I could just see just you still have all this enthusiasm jumping off your body for it. You should do it. And then, you know, for me, it was hard for me to jump right into another race. So it took some time for me to get pushed into this space.
Yeah.
Because I was like everyone else. I just lost a race. So why would I jump right into another one, right? But as I said earlier, God had different plans for me. And you know, before I just end this, being a very spiritual person, I always talk about my grandfather. His name is L.J. Dean. He passed away some years ago, but for the life of me, this old man keeps talking to me all the time. He just won't shut up. And so when I'm dealing with a tough decision or obstacle or whatnot, he has a way of coming to me. And he came to me in a dream and he said two words. And he said, step up. Super loud, aggressive. If you knew him, he's not a man of many words, but he said those two words. I woke up, the hair was standing up on my arms. I woke my wife up. She wasn't happy. It was 4:30 in the morning. But I told her what had happened, and she immediately grabbed my hands. We prayed for like 2 minutes. And literally, when I said amen, I had a vision of myself getting sworn in as the 41st governor of California. And I said, let's do it.
Bro, that just gave me chills right there. And I know just through following you that your grandfather holds a lot of weight and power behind the influence that he's had in your life. And I know you've got such strong core values. And I know those core values really tie into kind of your vision and the clarity that you see for California. How important do you believe core values are in terms of leadership, whether it's in politics or in professional life, in your family core values? Like, I know that's something that, you know, I've heard you talk about and really seems to be communicated and exemplified, not just in the audio of what comes out of your mouth, but the actions and kind of the video that plays out in, you know, how you do what you do.
Well, one of the main reasons why I'm so committed, because I've lived multiple lives. I've lived where I've abandoned those core values, and I've seen my life is in chaos.
Yeah.
Your actions are splintered and your decisions are misguided. And so the core values is basically the foundation that allows you to be successful. The core values is the mechanism that allows you to breathe, to exist, and to have that 3-second delay right before you make that bad decision. Those are the core values that are necessary and required to have a successful life. I wholeheartedly believe that. We as humans, mere humans, sometimes we stray from those things. And it's kind of like you bump your head. You can either learn from it or you continue doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
I didn't enjoy bumping my head. I'm just letting you know right now. You know, those core values and my faith had a way of humbling me to get me on the right track. And so, as you said, it can't be about what you just say. It also has to be a combination about what you do and who you are, but also just living in reality. We're all works in progress. We're all striving to become our better selves every single day. And I think California is actually ready for individuals to have that kind of open, transparent conversation with them, because what I experienced from watching other candidates or even elected officials, everyone has it all figured out. Everyone has all the answers. They have the master degrees. They have the, they have the right path or whatever, you know, whatever right path. And and we're still in chaos. We're still dealing with so-called complex issues. And so my theory and my mindset is, what about an alternative? What about an electrician being the next governor of California? Because at least an electrician deals in completion. Like, that's their habit to get the job done. These elected officials do not have a habit of getting the job done. They have a habit of serving you lip service. Yep. And so I'm that anomaly. Like, let's do the work. Let's partner. Let's collaborate. And that all comes from the core values and the faith that I wholeheartedly believe in.
I love that. And I think, too, it's that duality in life. I've been reading, I know you're a man of faith, and I don't know if you've read this book by John Gordon called The Garden. Super easy read. He's got some great, like, he's mainly a, you know, personal development for athletes and, you know, coaches. And he's got some great books out there, but he just wrote one that was kind of like, hey, this is one that's kind of out of my lane, but it's all based on my faith and Christianity. And one of the things he talks about in the book is, you know, we must have that duality in life, love, hate, good, bad, happy, sad, success, failure, right? All of those things, or else we wouldn't know and appreciate one without the other. But two, your ability to cover that ground, right, makes it so much more, one, relatable for people to go, man, he gets me, right? He's been there too. And he also put in the work to swing the pendulum back in another direction. And I want to make that choice too. And that's one of the reasons why I love following you, brothers, because, you know, I think everybody relates in some context of, you know, struggle, conflict, but that's also part of every great story of triumph and, you know, success, right? And I just love that you said, I think this new age and generation of thinking and of leadership is what once was, is not what has to be moving forward. And people are really on board with that. What have been some of the biggest hurdles that you've kind of run into, whether it's like physical challenges that, you know, people in politics are putting up in front of you, or maybe even just some of your own mental hurdles, and how do you process and handle getting through those?
Well, I would say early on is the whole what makes you qualified. And then dealing with the question, the first question that you get from, traditional voters, what's your platform, right? And for me, that always kind of like makes my skin crawl a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm saying this, so I know people don't pick up, and they're gonna say it just because, you know, they know that, right? But the thing about it is, so the hurdle is what makes you qualified. And for me now, more than anything, I look at that as an amazing opportunity. So let's talk about what's qualified, right? So the reason why I'm being asked that question, why? What makes one qualified? I'm qualified because I was able to check all the boxes to be eligible to be a candidate. Actually makes you qualified.
Right.
What we really should be discussing and talking about our leadership style, our brand of leadership, and what we can do together versus what makes you qualified. Because you have a master's degree doesn't correlate or automatically transcend you into being a great leader, making great decisions for the collective of your particular region, state, city, or whatever the case may be. And so that was the initial hurdle, getting past the traditional scare tactic that people have marketed to us to make us not run for these important roles that are detrimental and beneficial for our state. You know, this is the fifth largest economy. Oh, it's just so scary. You have to worry about this and worry about this. And then I calmly tell them, I say, you understand that leadership works differently, and a governor does not sit at a desk like this and have every single item on their desk. It has to make all these different administrative decisions. I said, you have to have someone with the intent that actually wants to work for you, but also loves the state like I do and has an imagination and creativity and willingness and the ability to cross the aisle through conversation. Having a marketing background has allowed me to exist in a lot of lion's dens, so to speak, in business. And I've always been able to bat a high percentage because that duality that you spoke about, having a relatable journey and story and being able to connect the two to relate an effective message to resonate with people. That's what leadership is, being able to walk into different socioeconomic backgrounds, different demographics, different communities, different hoods, and being able to say, hey, this is who I am. This is where I came from. But what can we do together versus coming in and say, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you without even having a proper conversation with you and taking a moment to even listen to your true concerns.
Yep. I've seen some of your amazing footage. And if you guys aren't following Major on Instagram, and I think you got your YouTube rocking as well, right?
Yes,
you guys,
yes, finally got it up.
Yep. I mean, his ability to go into some sometimes contentious and, you know, kind of some environments where there's some friction, right? There's some, there's some places that, you know, some people may not want to engage in these kind of conversations. And I love that you lean into those, man.
Yeah.
And not only do you lean into them, you ask really great questions, you listen, right? And then you kind of figure out how to kind of bridge some of those gaps and where are the olive branches that we need to throw out there. And I just think there's the IQ side of people that are really smart, right? But then there's this, you pair that with the EQ side and this ability to emotionally connect and be emotionally aware of the individuals. Those are the real leaders that I know can, you know, make big change and big difference. And that's why, and I don't know if what your thoughts are, I was going to ask you, like, why has your grassroots movement and the support that's gotten behind it and the people that are, you know, lifting you up, what do you think it is? I'm just curious.
I think it's because I'm speaking in a language that they relate to.
Yeah.
I think that my actions are showing them that I'm willing to earn the opportunity to serve them, the opportunity to earn their support and also their respect and ultimately their vote. Oftentimes when I go to these, especially like these small towns, they're really surprised to see a candidate there. And I'm more surprised that they are surprised because not being in the politics a very long time, I thought this is what we do as candidates. We go out every single place we possibly can.
Yep.
We work to earn the vote of the people by listening to them. But what I'm finding out is that candidates, especially Republican conservative candidates, have been relatively lazy in that particular department. And they haven't engaged in communities. They haven't went in. They haven't stepped outside of the echo chambers yep. admiration like I have. And then I found out that they believe that campaign is basically a yard sign and a billboard, not the physical interaction yeah. creating moments and memories. And so knowing that very early on, I've made it even more of an effort to make sure that I connect with people. And I always talk about memories and moments because that's more important than telling you I'm a genius and I have it all figured out. And if you cover enough ground, the other people that are supporting you is going to help you cover the other ground. And that's what's happening right now. People are having memories and moments with me. And whether it's through laughter, whether it's through them crying, telling me an emotional story about how things are impacting their industry, whether it's the trucking industry, the agriculture, farming industry, whether it's just the community, you know, police violence or how we're dealing with so many different elements with homelessness and small businesses and things of that nature. We are in a very interesting time right now. And if people want to have a conversation about it, they don't want to be talked down to. They actually just want to speak to you and they yeah. want you to listen. And I think that's why it's resonated because that's my brand. And the beautiful part about it, I didn't have to like Frankenstein it and put this character together. I'm simply just being myself.
Yep.
I know no other way.
You know, that there was a book I read a long time ago. I've talked about it on the podcast before. It was by Brené Brown. And one of the big things that she talks about is just in terms of like, man, when you can show up as just the organic you, the major, what you see behind the scenes in front of the camera on a podcast is just, that's me, that's major, right? And it's like, when you can show up as that organic person, you know that every conversation, every relationship, every experience, every opportunity, it's all just an organic reflection of you being you, right? So you don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to try and keep up with, what did I tell that person? And it just makes life so much more fluid and so much more impactful. And it's just the intention. You said the word intent. You know, people feel that genuine authenticity, and people are, they're damn smart nowadays, right? They can call bullshit. They know when someone like Newsom is going to say one thing over here and go do the complete opposite. And then when they get caught, you know, make up some BS, right? So it's just like when you can find that type of leadership, which I don't want to say it's few and far between nowadays, right? But those outliers, when you find them, you're like, oh, my dude, like that's, he is that, right? And so I think that's one reason why you've resonated with so many people. I'm curious how demanding the schedule can be for you, right? And I know you gain energy being in your kind of zone of genius and passion. How do you manage being an amazing husband and father, which I know is a major priority for you? And I see the kids and the wife on kind of the campaign trail with you, but also your health, right? You're a fit dude. How do you manage kind of your spirituality and your faith? How do you live like a millionaire in all areas of your life and not just go all in when life is calling you to maybe go all in certain areas?
Well, you have to be belligerent about having pace. One thing I've learned from my first campaign running for mayor of Pasadena, I tell everyone I burnt out the last 8 weeks. And it's simply because, you know, I was a first-time candidate, didn't have a campaign manager. I did everything. I made flyers. I walked neighborhoods. I did every single thing because I didn't like raise extremely big amounts of money, like $40,000 over 2 years. And it was truly like grassroots or whatnot in life and everything that I do, especially now, being more mature in business, understanding pace is very important and also prioritizing. And it does come back down to my core beliefs. And the things that I believe. I believe in rest. I believe in body wellness. I believe in making sure that I continue to make my wife laugh and we have moments together. I make sure that me and my kids connect with each other. And if we are ever having too much space, you see me, I'm bringing my kids with me as well because I'm always grooming them to see what confidence and strength and fearlessness looks like in real life, to truly be a part of it. And so it is a balance, but it's a balance that I've kind of mastered in a sense. As I've been doing it for the last 4.5 years. And it's a combination of me having a sports background, dedication, paying attention to detail. You have to work out in order to be in shape. You have to work out and train in order to get better. So I treat this political industry no different than I did when I was in the music industry, when I was in sports, when I was trying to act. Everything is about the work ethic and continue to grow and to evolve. If we would have had the same kind of podcast conversation like 4.5 years ago, you would have saw me kind of, you know, I was okay, you know, to speak on camera and speaking in front of people, but you would have seen a different kind of confidence. So you're always going to see me grow and evolve into those spaces. I just did Fox News the other day.
Yep.
And then everyone is raving over it. And for me, it's just natural because I put in the work to get better every single day because I truly do want to be the best candidate so I can actually get elected and then actually start adding the value and do the work. But it has to start enjoying this process first and understanding that. So I just live by very strategic guidelines. You know, I don't hang out much. I don't, you know, play video games. I don't watch sports. Like I get up at between 4:30 and 5:30 every single morning. I'm the first person at my office, the last person to leave my office. I beat all my volunteers. I just really want it. I'm just enthusiastic about life. It's mainly because I tell people the two things that are most important to me. And I don't want to talk too long, but the two most important things is that what my three sons are going to say about me at my eulogy, right? That's really important to me right now, being 43 years old, going on 44. But the second thing, what is the legacy? What is the work and the value that I added to the world?
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what my mindset. Those are the two most important things to me. You know, my family, my wife, my kids, what they're going to be able to say about me when it's all said and done. And also how many people I was able to touch through my nonprofit or having the opportunity to serve an entire state like California, which I never thought even growing up I would ever be able to visit, you know, growing up in the projects with nothing. Like just, I only seen like Beverly Hills Cop with Eddie Murphy. I was like, I can never visit that place.
Yep.
To be at a place where now I'm here and I'm able to thrive and make these decisions and choices and have this opportunity to really be at the place right now where this could actually happen, right? And so, I mean, God is good, and we have a great pace, and we have a great understanding of what we're doing, and we're just, you know, we're walking in faith, man.
That's amazing, man. Well, your level of discipline and focus, right, and just keeping it simple, I think is something, you know, oftentimes people overlook, right? And just knowing yourself and, you know, putting in that work every single day, it's something that nobody can take away from you, right? And so when you have overcome enough fears and enough challenges and enough obstacles, and you still, you know, all right, I still got a pulse. My wife loves me. My kids still think I'm the coolest dude on the planet. Like it turns into confidence, and that just compounds more and more. And when you have that deep of a, you know, rooted why, and you're clear on why you're doing what you're doing, nothing is going to stop you from doing what you're doing, man. So I think it's just amazing, you know, that you have put yourself in the position that you're in today. And it, for me, it's like, man, you haven't even scratched the surface yet. So I'm curious, you know, for those that might be going, what is he going to do different? Or, you know, what do you want people to know about Major Williams that maybe people don't know about yet in terms of whether it's political stances or what you're planning on changing or how you're going to show up if they don't know who you are? You know, what are some of the things you want them to know about you?
Well, first of all, I want them to know that me being the next governor of California will instantly change the culture of how we get things done and also how we perceive some of these so-called complex issues in our state. And a great example is that is how we look at homelessness here, which has risen over 16% in the last 2 years under Governor Gavin Newsom's leadership. And that has happened simply because you can't just put money into something and think it's going to magically get better. Until we look at homelessness like a service versus a business, which is what we do now, we will never be able to put a dent in it and start getting people reacclimated back into society. And the way that we do that is having someone with intent, someone who has imagination, someone who's using the office of the governor to bring the best and brightest together and using successful models that exist already in certain areas and customize those and tailor make them here for our state. And so there's three things that we are going to do that I want people to know when it comes to homelessness, because that is a huge issue up and down the state, is that we are going to implement three different pillars. And one of them is mental health hospitals, bringing those back full force, state-of-the-art mental health hospitals with the best doctors possible to help these individuals with mental health to get the care that they need so they can get themselves well. The second component is the better drug and rehab facility and accountability attached to those things and incentives attached to that as well. But I always tell people those two elements don't work if the third one is not there, which is wraparound services.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Wraparound services I have a lot of experience with, because when I was working in group homes, when kids would turn 17 to 18, I would handle the transition of them. So that's why I call it transitional services. and transitions or wraparound services is so essential, because that's the pinnacle point whether or not if it's going to be a cycle of them coming right back into the system and going back homeless. But if we can actually create a bridge of services and opportunities for those individuals, a good percentage of those individuals will be reacclimated back into society. So you see what I just did right there? I didn't say it was solve homelessness. Yep. It was just decrease everything. We deal in reality. And the best thing that you're going to get from Governor Williams' administration is that I'm a straight shooter. I think it's time for us to have a straight shooter who understands the importance of partnership and collaboration beyond special interests and corporate lobbyists. It has to come from the people who are directly affected, like our agriculture industry in the Central Valley, like our truckers in Fontana. We have to be able to bring in their ideas and solutions and put those together with meaningful legislation that's going to help those individual those individual industries survive. Yep. And that would be the difference between my brand, The Leadership, versus anyone else, because no one else is going to talk that way unless they see this interview and start to mimic me after the fact, which oftentimes happens.
Yeah, that I was going to say, man, imitation is the best form of flattery, right? And one thing I've picked up on how you lead too in terms of these conversations is it's old school mentality, which I see in a lot of politics, this top-down mentality, right? It's the seniority and it's what I say, it's this trickle-down effect. But then there's this kind of new age way of thinking, whether this is in politics or really, you know, we use this in my company, we use it in different mastermind organizations, and it's this collaborative, horizontal participation in creating based on an objective and goal that we all desire, everybody having some DNA in the creation of that, right? And not just this 1 + 1 = 2, it's, you know, 5 + 5 = 5,000, right? A lot of collectivity in terms of the think tank of people coming together and, you know, bringing something valuable that all of us together, or I guess more so individually, wouldn't be able to create otherwise. And so I see that's, you know, a lot of the stuff that you guys are doing, you know, with your team and just who you're including and what you're seeking out in terms of feedback or input. You know,
I think that's hugely important, right? Yeah. Some of the things that I ask voters sometimes, you know, just to mature the voter selective process, which I've been saying has been flawed for decades.
Yep.
How you engage, or how I would say you should engage with some of the people that are, you know, vetting, so to speak, is come with your solutions and see if they adopt it.
Yep.
Would like to work with you on it. Like, you become the individual task force as a voter. You present your ideals and your solution versus, what are you going to do for me? No, what can we do together?
Yeah.
I don't know you. I don't know what your issues are. So bring those issues to me. Let's try to see how we can bridge that gap. Right. And so because I speak that way all the time, I'm making light bulbs go off on people's heads on how to truly effectively learn how to engage with your political candidates in the future. Because if you use the same blueprint on how you vet these individuals, ultimately, you're going to produce the same type of individuals that end up being in those elected seats.
Yep.
So at some point, we have to change it up, because, you know, the old saying, doing the exact same thing over and over again is what? It's insanity. So we have to switch it up.
Yep. Well, I think we're tired of the insanity that's going on. And to me, I mean, I was kind of like you. You know, I was born and raised, I would say, a Democrat. And I've never really considered myself a Republican, but definitely more conservative in terms of views. But I got a lot of social left-leaning, you know, ideologies as well. But what we've seen, you know, kind of rampage through our state is, you know, not something that, yeah, I'm a big boy, I can kind of handle my own, you know, but at the same time, I think about my kids and I think about future generations and what do we want to give them and all of the amazing people in this state. You know, there's so many different, you know, cultures and ethnicities and races and all different types of demographics. And what has been going on for a long time is obviously not serving the greater good of our state. If there was something that, you know, you were thinking would be a lead domino that you talked about the homelessness in terms of just, you know, whether it's in policy or it's in culture within Cali, what do you think would be a big domino you'd love to see fall, you know, when you get into office?
I would say two different components. One of those proponents would be doing a forensic audit of our entire budget, which will allow someone like myself to truly open up the books and see where all of our wasteful spending is and identify that wasteful spending, immediately start to re-divert and reallocate those funds for a 4-year plan for our small businesses here in California, who have taken a huge hit due to the misguided decisions of this extended lockdown by the governor. The second component that I would actually go after is reforming our illegal immigration system. Because, you know, even during the lockdown, the governor is giving away over $300 million to illegal immigrants when there are struggling, hardworking Californians that are here that haven't even got an EDD check or any kind of assistance at all. And so I just think it's about prioritizing and having that type of leadership that's willing to step out there. And it may not be favorable amongst some or certain parties or whatever, but I'm willing to be unfavorable for the sake of restoring California in that particular way. So the first thing that I would do, would be a forensic audit, identifying the wasteful spending, reallocate those funds for programs. So instead of saying supporting defund the police, which I don't support at all, the reason why you want to fund them for what? We're going to identify what programs you want, and then we're going to take it from the wasteful spending. And now you have those fundings for those programs. Let's empower, let's build, let's ignite, but let's leave our police department alone. If anything, we should be finding more funds for those individuals to get them more training and more individuals on the particular force where they have shortages. And the second thing is just like I said, our illegal immigration system is run amok. There's so much crime, there's so much child sex trafficking that's happening right now, which I intend to work with people like Tim Ballard with our Rescue to create an amazing task force and to send a ripple effect through anywhere to let people know that California will not tolerate it. And we're going to be very aggressive when it comes to offsetting that culture and that industry.
It's amazing, man. I love it. If we were to wrap up on maybe one or two of these questions in terms of what are you major most excited about right now? What gets you so fired up that you just getting kind of giddy thinking about it that you got going on or maybe that you're being a part of?
I would say the inspirational aspect of it, because so many other people, young people that are seeing this, and when they see this happen, you have to understand this is going to trigger something psychologically and emotionally in so many young people to get inspired and make this, you know, this is not something that's unobtainable. This is not something that's corny or boring. We can make this exciting. We can take this over. And so I get excited about what I represent to so many young people that come up to me with tears in their eyes or come up with the biggest smile ever saying, you inspire me, or come up and say, I'm 16, but by the time it's time to vote, I'd be 18 or 17. And like, you know, that's what I'm most inspired about how this campaign is being received, which gives me more ammunition to continue to get up every single day and fight the way that I continue to fight, even amongst the criticism and backlashes and whatever. But I'm most excited about that, the way that it's resonating with the young people and getting them inspired to want to run for public office one day as well.
Well, I was going to say, I've never, you know, been somebody that's been hyper engaged in politics more so the last 2 years than ever before. And I'll echo what I'm sure you hear every single day is that, you know, the way you lead, the way you show up, the fresh new vibe and energy that you bring in. And not just being, I think the big thing is not just being a messenger and a good talker, but being a great walker and being congruent and aligned with what you're saying and living your message. Those are the kind of leaders I love getting behind, man. And you model that at the highest level. So I'm excited to be supporting you, brother. And I know there's going to be a lot of other people after listening to this episode that are going, all right, how do I support my dude Major? So what is the best way for people to support you in your run for governorship?
Absolutely. So there are a variety of ways to support us, but I would encourage you to go to our website, which is majorforgovernor.com. We have a variety of resources. It shows you my bio, shows you the things that I stand for, and some of the things that we're going to be working towards. But more importantly, let's continue what we've been doing in this very organic space with this campaign. Get the word out there. Let people know we exist. If you know great podcasts just like this one, tag those individuals on my content on Instagram at Major Williams and let people know I exist and say, hey, get this guy on your show. But another component or goal right now, specifically this month and next month, is to secure 100,000 supporters, just like anyone that's watching this, to donate monthly a minimum of $5 a month. $5 a month is just one cup of coffee every single month to someone who's actually fighting for us, that's willing to work with you and for the sake of restoring California. So you can do that on the website. Just put reoccurring $5 a month. Just help us reach our goal. But the last thing I would say, don't let it be about just your effort. push other people to become ambassadors as well. Just like no different than with the recall. I tell people, you know, raise your hand if you sign a recall. Everybody raises their hand. Then I say, raise your hand if you're responsible for at least 10 other people signing. Then some of the hands start to come down. And I say, well, leave your hands up if you're responsible for 100 people. Then literally like only two hands are still left up. But I'm showing you how to win. I'm showing you the tools and mechanisms that we have control over to be able to push a candidate that we care about, that we want to support, over the top. So this allows me to tell corporate companies no, which I do all the time. Pharmaceuticals, no, because my credentials, my financials are public information. You can see we're people funded. People funded. You know, we've done an amazing job thus far, but help us continue on so we can come to your community, to your city, to your town.
Guys, I will include all the links on where you can do that at millionairemindcast.com on Major's episode. So be sure to go and check that out. Be sure to follow him on social media. We'll have his handle on there and just get behind, you know, and get engaged, right? That's the most important thing is now more than ever, we have the ability. If you don't like something, right? It's not, oh, they will take care of it or it's their job to figure that out, right? It's taking some accountability and responsibility and knowing that we collectively. And one thing I love about your movement, brother, is unity, right? Is like, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you make, what you don't make. We're inclusive, which is something that we don't feel very, you know, strongly in politics right now. When there's unity, there's power, right? And the ability to swing the pendulum in whatever direction you want it to go in. If you feel aligned with Major, his core values, what he stands for, what he's doing, go and sign up, support him. Definitely sign that recall. Gavin movement. If you haven't done that yet on that petition, we're very close to making that happen. I think we're going to, if you were to make a statement today and say you think it's going to happen or not, you think it's going to make it to the ballot?
Absolutely. I look forward to sooner than later being sworn in on the Bible as the 41st governor of California.
Let's go, my man. Well, you guys heard it. Major Williams, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you share it with somebody else who maybe needs to hear this today or that could gain some value from something that was talked about or discussed in today's interview. You just never know, one piece of information, a conversation, a tool, a resource can completely transform and change the trajectory of someone's life or their business. So if you get any kind of value or you want to support the show, all we ask is that you help us organically get this in front of more people. Also, for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey and unlock more financial freedom, get more time back, and just level up your life, your business, your finances, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com to check out all the amazing products and resources that we offer to our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, courses from our guests, all kinds of free content, downloads, checklists, upcoming event info, and how you can connect with us live in person, all kinds of great valuable tools. You can get that over at therichlifeacademy.com. Last but not least, I always want to know, who do you guys want to hear me interview next? Let me know. Shoot me a text at 844-447-1555. With that being said, until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friend.